So I want to talk about the resurrection and everyday experience, because the truth of the matter is that if Christ hadn't resurrected from the dead, we wouldn't be sitting here today, obviously. Jesus' death provided for the forgiveness of sins, right? However, his death did not make sinners alive again. I said his death provided for the forgiveness of sins, but you can imagine when God created Adam, Adam was just laying there. He hadn't blown, God hadn't blown into his breath of, hadn't blown into his nostrils the breath of life yet. He hadn't sinned. He was sinless, but he wasn't alive.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes, please.
Provided for the forgiveness of sins. But his death did not make sinners alive again, just as Jesus was sinless, but his death, but he didn't automatically rise from the dead, even though he was sinless. So his
Bingo.
did not cause us to rise from the dead. His death did not give us life. His death paid for our sin.
Yes, it did.
Sin in the mercy seat of heaven. Now that happened first. Right, in order for us to rise from the dead, both spiritually and physically, but it was the power of God that caused Jesus physically to rise from the dead and to change his body to a resurrected body, a flesh and bone body. Right, so it was the resurrection of Christ that caused you and I to become alive together with Christ, and this happened spiritually. We understand. And so the scriptures go back and forth interchangeably, speaking about literal resurrection and figurative resurrection. We'll point it out when we see it. But I quoted this last week in the sermon, and I want us to dive a little deeper into it today. I'm going to start at verse 15 of Ephesians 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what Paul was praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul, by the Spirit of God, praying by the Spirit of God, then God then wants you and I to know him more. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to have a deeper understanding. And with a deeper understanding goes a deeper appreciation, a deeper praise, a deeper thanks, right, for who he is and what he's done. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and hear our text for today, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. There's exceedingly great power that is coming, has come, been coming, and will come toward us who believe,
Who believe?
he says. Now, this power is not toward us because we are worthy of it. Not because we're worthy of it, but because and because we chose to believe in God. This is the power that brought us to faith in Christ. This power made us alive. Right? That's what this power is. And it comes by God's own working, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in. Now, this is astounding. Paul says that the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, that power is coming to him. I say, my goodness, saints, do we understand? Do we realize what we have in Christ? Christ has done for us. This power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, literally. That was a literal. Christ was literally, physically raised from the dead and seated in him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So Paul wants us to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised us up from the dead and caused us to believe in the gospel of his son. Was that
Amen.
why?
Amen.
Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. But we were dead in trespasses and sins. Yeah, far more principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So Paul desired, he was praying for this church, for the church at Ephesus, to know the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Paul desired to know Christ more fully. He said it to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Same for himself, exactly what he prayed for the church at Ephesus here. He said, you want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. So Paul, in his prayer for the saints, who have been brought to God by God, would be given by God revelation about God and understanding of the power of God that raised the Son of God by God from the dead. Now, why does Paul want us to know that? Well, we were all dead in trespasses and sins. And so at the end of this chapter, which is the next verse, chapter verse 22, then it goes over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And what does Paul say? And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Praise the Lord.
And you, he made alive.
Mm-hmm.
Trespasses and sins. Now, we were dead in trespasses and sins. How then does he go and make us alive? How does he make us alive? We remember from last week, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive.
Mm-hmm.
All shall be made alive. So we were Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God in Christ, he made us alive. So Romans 6, Paul tells us how we were made alive. Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized, that word baptized is the act of water baptism that believers undergo to profess their faith in Christ? As many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. You say, why am I baptized into his death? Because that's why Jesus was born. He was born to die. He was born to die, but he wasn't born just to walk around the earth and say, hey, you know, I'm God, and then leave. No. He was born to die for sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So we were baptized into his death, into Christ Jesus. We were baptized into his death. 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
And that's why Christ died. That's why we're baptized into his death. Because he came to save sinners. How? By dying for us.
Amen.
For us. And Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. Okay. So he says, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when Christ was raised from the dead, you and I, when he was raised physically, you and I were raised spiritually from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's how we are alive in Christ today. Not through his death. His death affected the forgiveness of sins. And that has to happen in order for someone to receive spiritual life, right? The sins must be atoned for. They must please God's holy presence in heaven. That's why Christ was the only one who could die for sins. He's the only one just, right? He's the only one who could go into the heavenly temple made without hands. And so we were baptized into his death. And if you when you understand baptism, baptism is going down in the water and coming out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down in the water and don't come up, that's baptism. That's death.
Mm-hmm.
No, baptism, you go down in and you come up. So baptism, by definition, has resurrect, built into it, death and resurrection are going down and being immersed and coming up. So Jesus Christ immersed himself in our death fully.
Mm-hmm.
He rose fully from death, life, and he gave eternal life to us. So, we were plunged into Christ's death through baptism so that we might also be raised to life spiritually. Remember that we said last week that those who are dead spiritually will die physically. That's why all people die. We see dying every day, you know, going around. Well, why do we die? We die because we are all dead spiritually. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So we're all born into sin. Adam and Eve truly were the original sinners, but then everyone after them were born into sin, right? And therefore, born to die. Now, we see it also what Paul says here in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So Jesus was raised physically. But in verse 13, he says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. So to be made alive together with Christ, one has to have all their trespasses and their sins forgiven. So Jesus Christ's death took care of the forgiveness of sins and the forgiveness of trespasses, and that then enables us to be made alive together with Christ, right? If we don't identify with his death, we cannot identify with his resurrection. But here, when we were baptized into Christ, we did both. Jesus didn't die spiritually. He died physically as he took on our sin. And that's why he could not remain dead, because death couldn't keep him in the grave, had no hold on him. Because Jesus never died spiritually. He died physically on the behalf of spiritually dead people. That's you and I, of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spiritually dead cannot die for the spiritually dead. Amen. The spiritually alive can only die for the spiritually dead. We were born spiritually dead and therefore will die physically, but we have been made alive spiritually. We cannot remain dead physically forever. And so herein is where we experience the resurrection every day. We may take it for granted. We may not know it. We may pay no attention to it because the world is, you know, and the devil, the flesh, is vying for our attention all day long. But every day we are alive in Christ, we are partaking of his resurrection. Every day we are alive in Christ, we are partaking of his resurrection. Why? Because we were buried with him through baptism into death, and death came to our old man, and that we were then raised to life and to walk in newness of life, that in the life that Christ has given us. Do you believe in Christ today?
Amen.
Believe in Christ today, you are partaking of his resurrection. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you could not believe in Christ unless he made you alive to believe in him, to receive as Lord and Savior. Jesus says this to his disciples. Watch this, John chapter 14, verse 9. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. What is he talking about? In John 14, talking about he's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's going to die. But he tells his disciples, because I live. Well, wait a second. You're going to the cross and die. Yeah, but I'm not going to stay dead. Because I live, you will live also. You want to know how we know Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead? Because you and I are alive today, alive spiritually, alive to testify. His own disciples, he was seen by 500 people at once. Paul testified he saw him. Peter testified he saw him. All the 12 disciples saw him. They said, no, he's alive. They bore witness to the truth. And Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Every day you and I wake up in Christ Jesus is testimony over and over and over again to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is no small accomplishment, for that for which the believer ought to give God thanks for and remain in each and every day that we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I said, every morning I went to bed a believer in Christ Jesus. I woke up in the morning a believer in Christ Jesus because God did it, because God kept me. Amen. Yes. One day, I'm going to stop breathing. Stop breathing. And some nights make me wonder. My heart be turning somersaults in my chest. I said, Lord Jesus, it's tonight, tonight. I know my wife get wigged out when I say stuff like that. Look, the fact of the matter is, either you're going to get old and die, accidental, something's going to happen, you know. Israel over there, people feeding the Gazans, and Israel over there, Dr. Bible from kitchen folk, and just that was it. My goodness. No. Jesus said, look, accidents happen. Jesus said in John chapter 13, the people asked him, when the Tower of Siloam fell over on these people and killed 18, they said, hey, what happened there, Jesus? Were these people worse sinners than anyone else? Jesus didn't pay attention to it. He said, no. He says, but you're going to die just the same if you don't repent. Like, the question is not how you die. It's the fact you're going to die. That's what Jesus said. No, you're going to die too. And you have to repent. You know? So, you're not thinking about how I'm going to die. I am in Christ. Right? We already have eternal life.
Amen.
Resurrection life already. This is why when we go to the funeral of a saint, now we may mourn, yes, we miss them, our hearts are saddened, we grieve.
Yes.
But after that, look, beloved, hey, that person, listen, that person is not grieving. That person is skipping. Yes. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That person is looking into the eyes of their Savior.
Mm-hmm.
For them, yourself, get over it, but then rejoice. Amen. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I would rather.
Amen.
He said, to live is Christ. Get this. But to die is gain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we see what Paul sees. Paul walking around saying, oh, yeah, death is gain. Man, if I die, bro, I'm going to be with my Savior. I'm going to be with my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We sitting there going, I don't know about that, you know. I really like my Lexus. My Tesla. Oh, no. Don't worry. We're getting there. So here we are partaking of the resurrection life of Jesus on a daily basis. On a daily basis. The reality of Christ's resurrection for the believer is what makes the denial of the resurrection so dangerous. You say, there are people who deny the resurrection? Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard the preterist teaching. The preterist, you can look it up on Google. But saints, there are some born-again people who believe in the preterist. Well, I had someone in the church years ago. I tried to straighten him out, but he didn't want to hear it. They believe that everything that the Bible teaches has already been fulfilled. Jesus has returned. All the people have been resurrected. The great white throne judge, everything has already taken place. And I'm sitting up there like, I don't know how, when did Jesus come back? He said, every eye shall see him. He said, he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives, going to split it in two. He says, he's going to, they said in Acts chapter 1, as you saw him go, so shall he return, which means visibly, bodily. When did Jesus come back that way? But it's already happened. We don't hold to that view. Neither do we hold to that view. Well, they were teaching that the resurrection had already passed. The resurrection already passed. You mean all the people have resurrected and gone to heaven? Well, what are we doing here then?
Amen.
if that's the case, we done missed it.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
That is not the case. But there were people walking around in Paul's name who were denying that there ever would be or there ever was a resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some say among you, some among you say, that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were people in Paul's day where Paul was living in the time of the resurrection of Christ. There were people still alive who saw the resurrected Christ. And yet there were people in Paul's day who were saying, there is no resurrection of the dead. You know how people say false stuff today and it gets, they keep repeating. What's going on? The devil. The same devil who walked into the garden and said, it's sweet. Juicy too. The same devil who said that goes around, was going around and they said, no, there ain't no resurrection from the dead. In our day to day, saying, disregarding the truth and speaking lies. And if you say a lie long enough, people
can believe it.
That's right.
Yeah. So we got to be careful. Well, Paul said, no, we're not standing for that. Now, what's interesting here is, well, look at what Paul says. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, now say some of you. Now, what's so interesting about if what the word preached is, God called men to preach.
Okay? Yes.
God called Paul. He called Peter. Right? How shall they preach unless they are called or unless they are sent? How shall they be sent? And so forth in the book of Romans. So God called men to preach, but he never called people to say that there was no resurrection from the dead. Mm-hmm. He's asserting his apostolic authority that we've been called by God to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he goes on and says, how that some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. To be clear, if there is no resurrection of the dead means that God does not raise the dead as only God could raise the dead. It means that there is no resurrection from the dead, nor did he raise Christ from the dead. Paul goes on. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Mm. You know what that means? If Christ is not risen, the cause and effect of the gospel, which is the resurrection and our salvation, that comes through the gospel message, is in vain, is empty, and is worthless. Mm-hmm. Absolutely worthless. We may as well go out, eat, drink, and be merry. Go out, get your Budweiser, get drunk, liquor, everything, sleep with whoever you want, do whatever you want, do whatever you're going to do. Because God ain't raising nobody from the dead, then it, you know, everything, why are we feeding the hungry? Why are we giving money? Why are we doing any of this? No. We would be found liars. Paul says we are liars if Christ did not rise from the dead. In Proverbs 19:9, the scripture reads, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. That's a heavy. Say, isn't that pretty heavy for telling a lie? Well, the book of Revelation says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we white lie. There ain't no such thing as a white lie. The Bible says shall have their part in the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's a serious thing. If indeed God was not raising people from the dead, he did not raise Christ from the dead, and Paul was preaching that, in fact, he did. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. So Paul repeats himself. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You are still in your sins. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. And to justify the fact that God received his sacrifice, sealed it by raising him from the dead. And also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished.
Mm-hmm.
Believed in God for eternal life? No, they're dead and gone and going to partake in hell or whatever it is these people were saying would be their ultimate end. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I love this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How are we born again? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Every day you are born again, you are experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. Let me add something.
Mm-hmm.
You born again. God is watching over your sanctified status as a child of God in the kingdom of God. In other words, God is preserving you for salvation. He's preserving us in his redemption that he purchased for us through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By God's power. Now remember, Paul said, he said, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us to, who believe. Peter says God's power is guarding us through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Power is keeping you and I safe. That's why I say I went to bed in Christ. I woke up in the morning in Christ. Why? Because the power of God is keeping me in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God keeps us. He keeps us. We are raised to new life spiritually. We were raised to new life spiritually when Christ was resurrected from the dead physically by the power of God. That's why when we looked at Matthew chapter 27 last week, the Bible says that when Christ died, there was an earthquake and the graves were shaken open. And the bodies came out of the graves after his resurrection. They were made alive after his resurrection. See that? So we were made alive spiritually after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the resurrected Christ who breathed on them, just like God breathed into Adam's nostrils in Genesis chapter 2. He breathed on them and brought about a whole new spiritual people. So God's resurrection power works in us to bring about God's salvation for us. God's resurrection power is working in us to bring about God's salvation for us. We will be resurrected from the dead physically in the future to receive what God has prepared for us.
Mm-hmm.
And what he prepared for us, he's preparing us for. What God has prepared for us,
mm-hmm, I get it. Mm-hmm.
Imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's what he's prepared for us. It's prepared. It's in heaven, but he's preparing us for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Part of the reason why we're still here is we're being prepared for eternity. Hello. We are being prepared for eternity. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. You might know you're living in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
When you get done living, you pull up your tent and you go somewhere else. That's what tents are temporary. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We
understand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, and every house here will be destroyed. Make no mistake about it. The big old houses that people make it. I walked past a house in Great Falls the other day while I was cleaning carpet. It is literally, it looked like the size of the White House. I mean, this thing is someone's building. It's a custom-made house. This house is so big, it's stupid. And one day it's going to burn. It's just going
to...
Every house here. You know, every house here will be destroyed. When we see homes destroyed by tornadoes, flooding, mudslides, etc., what does it point to? But it's a reminder that every house is going to come to nothing. Every house here is going to be destroyed. So Paul says that if we know that every house here, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're being prepared for that, church. Remember what Jesus said, in my Father's house, a mini mansion?
Amen. Amen.
We have people in there. Pastor, breathing. Look here. You come there and dance. Say, Pastor is there. Pastor's in his house. Yeah, Pastor's in glory. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Saying I'm ready to go. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when it happens, because it is going to happen. Don't make no mistake about it. Okay. We have a house in the heavens. Now, watch what Paul said. Now, some of us may like this. For this we groan.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Hey, is anybody, how many people getting older?
Amen.
Okay, maybe you haven't entered the groaning stage yet, but oh my goodness, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, we grapple. I took a nap. After I walked yesterday, I sat down in my chair, started working on my sermon, added some notes here, there, and everything. Next thing I knew, I was asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this ain't gonna work. We need some rest first. And Paul says, for in this we groan. He says it here, but he also says it in Romans chapter 8. But in Romans chapter 8, he says creation groans.
Mm-hmm.
He said we groan. Mm-hmm. And then he said spirit groans.
Mm-hmm.
Creation, us, and the spirit groans. The spirit groans, making in unintelligible syllables that we can understand into God as it prays the will of God for us. Wow. So, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. You know what Paul is saying? Paul says, I want this new life. I want the life that Christ died to give me. I want it physically. That's what he's saying here. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan. He says it again.
Mm-hmm.
We who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. The picture that Paul paints using the word swallowed is that immortality is greater than mortality. Eternal life is greater than temporal death, and it's going to swallow it up, such that when it swallows it up, you never knew it existed anymore. That's what's going to happen. Now watch what he says. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God.
Yes, God.
Is preparing us for the eternal house.
Amen.
In glory. Guess what? When a person dies and leaves this earth, a person in Christ, well, that time of preparation must have been up.
Mm-hmm.
God said, okay, come on, you're ready. And they go. And we go.
Mm-hmm.
He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Guarantee.
And that this is the case. That this is the case. This is why sometime, and don't be alarmed by it, sometime you find yourself thinking about heaven, longing for the glories of God. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Sometime in worship, you feel like you could touch it. You feel like, oh, you just want to be his, just want to be with him. Yeah. Why is that? Because we're being prepared for that. We're being prepared for glory.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, he said this at the end. He says, now to him, now we like to use this for
sure guarantee.
Okay. We like to use this for temporal things. This scripture. But that wasn't what Paul was using it for. Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I'm praying that, you know, that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be strengthened and established in faith, will grow up into him, into all things, that you will know the height, the width, the depth, and the length, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Everything Paul prayed for was intangible. It all had to do with knowing and loving God. Knowing and loving God. And after he prayed that, the benediction to it is this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Did you know there's power working in you? There's a power working in you. Paul said in Ephesians 1 that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe.
Mm-hmm.
In you to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now, I get it. You know, we pray, God, I need a car. My car broke down. He's able to do it. See, okay, I get it. Our feeble minds will attach that to a car. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us. Okay. When that, hey. Yeah, that's what, but don't stop there. Because that's not what Paul was praying. Paul said, I want you to know the love of Christ which passes your ability to know. How does that work? How does that make sense? Well, he said in Philippians, he said, in the peace of God which passes knowledge, so keep your heart and mind through Christ. Well, that's past our ability to even understand. But you can still know it. You can know something in your spirit, not totally understand it. I don't know how God raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know how he raised us, but here we are. I don't know all the details. I don't know, but here we are. So he says that according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The power of God responsible for the resurrection of Christ is at work in us every day. Let me say that again. The power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in us every day.
Amen.
Paul said, there is no limit to that power.
Amen.
That's why he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. Paul said, God able to do the prayer that he just prayed. He said, God able to do way beyond that, according to the power that works in us.
Mm-hmm.
What is the power that works in us? Well, Peter tells us, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. How was Jesus raised from the dead? Through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit entered his body,
mm-hmm,
and transformed his body.
Yeah.
And the Spirit that transformed his body, Paul said in Romans 8, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you,
mm-hmm,
he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
Amen.
So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living, is dwelling in you. And that same power, that same Spirit is going to raise us from the dead on the great day. But first he raised us spiritually. First he raised us that we might have eternal life spiritually. And then we will receive eternal life physically at the last day. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Yeah, I see. So is it safe to say that,
excuse me.
can't see. Through the plastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and share your thought, though. Maybe that'll work.
Big white room, that's the one that's in the basement.
Yeah, is it safe to say that it's through the resurrection and the baptism that we are born again?
The baptism is a statement of the faith that you have in Christ. Okay, so water baptism doesn't save us, it just professes what we believe to have occurred according to what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Right? So John the Baptist told his disciples, he says, I'm baptizing you with water, but there comes one who's going to baptize you with the Spirit. Only Jesus could immerse us in the Spirit.
Amen.
In the deadness of our sins and raise us to spiritual life.
Amen.
When we go to the waters of baptism, the waters of baptism is a public declaration of a spiritual reality that has already occurred. We are being baptized because we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose for our sins, for our justification. So we too then identifying with his death, burial and resurrection through the waters of baptism. So the waters of baptism are pointing to a spiritual reality that has occurred in us through faith in Christ.
Amen.
But can a person be saved in the waters of baptism? Yes. But then remember Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip went and preached to, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you may be baptized. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says Philip took him down in the water and baptized him. So it was an immediate response to his faith in Jesus Christ. It didn't save him, but he professed it and he declared it to all the people around him, and he wanted to go through it to be obedient, even as Jesus Christ told John the Baptist, it suffices us to fulfill all scripture baptized.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, church, for tuning in today and coming together in his name. Pray a blessing on the rest of your Lord's Day and upon your week that God will give you.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Be blessed.
Bye now.